Welcome to Martial Arts and Crafts. I'm Sarah Deacon. I'm a mom, an artist, a black belt martial artist, life coach, and inspirer of others. In this podcast, we explore different topics related to physical and mental health, habits for success, intentional mindset shifts, and so much more. You're here because you're ready to tap into more of your potential and make a bigger impact in your life. So let's get moving. Hi, welcome back to the Martial Arts and Crafts podcast. I'm Sarah Deacon. Today I have Trina Martin here with me. And Trina L. Martin is a technologist, a speaker, author, and podcaster. She uses her experiences to motivate audiences to overcome adversity, develop self-determination, and discipline. Trina also inspires emerging leaders to pursue their wildest dreams with heart and grit. An accomplished IT professional and retired U.S. naval officer with 30 years of service, she has broken barriers and made strides in her career that many said weren't possible. Trina is the author of the book, From a Mess to Amazing, 7 Steps to Create the Life You Deserve. She is also a co-author of the anthology, Make It Happen. Trina is also the host of the podcast, Trina Talk. So let's welcome Trina to the podcast today. Trina, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. I'm so glad that we could make this happen. So tell me a little bit more about the work that you do now and how you got started.
Oh, so I help small and medium-sized businesses use secure communication technology. And in addition to that, my passion is helping women of color get into tech, to be retained into tech and be promoted and go to leadership. So I'm doing it from both the corporate side and from the woman's perspective. So that's something that I'm very passionate about. As you said in my bio, I can't believe it. I just retired from the Navy after 30 years of service. I have a computer science degree. So I spent like 20 years in the private sector in IT as a computer programmer and consultant doing various things. And I decided to use that expertise in my business that I have today. And that's basically the story about me.
So what drew you to a career in the Navy?
You know, it's funny you asked that. So I am the youngest of 4 children, and I was the first in my family to go to college. So after my first year in college, I was like, okay, this is all self-financed, so I need a way to pay for college. Well, at the time, I ended up joining the Army Reserves. And at that time, it was 1990 and Gulf War was going on, things like that. So I did 3 years in the Army. The profession that I had, I didn't realize how dangerous it was. So someone said, well, hey, you know, what have you ever thought about transferring over to the Navy? And I was like, wow, I didn't even know I could do that transfer. So they said, yeah, you can transfer services. So that's what I ended up doing. And, you know, 30 years later, that's where I ended up.
Yeah. Wow. And I just have to take a minute because, you know, I read that you have 30 years in the Navy and you look younger than I am. So whatever you're doing, you look beautiful. So yeah, keep that up. So over the course of your Navy career, you were in IT with the Navy, or what did you do with your service?
Well, I had a couple of different professions in the Navy. Like I said, I got my degree in computer science, so I spent some time in private sector. I also did IT in the Navy, but I eventually ended up getting my commission as an intelligence officer in the Navy. So that's where I spent half of my career doing as a commissioned officer.
You worked in computer science, IT, tech. Were you always drawn to the STEM careers?
You know, actually, I was. Being a child of the 70s, I grew up in Chicago, inner city Chicago. So computers was all new. It was something that I went to a technical high school instead of going to my zoned high school, that's where I really learned and forged my love for computers. being the youngest of four, I had two brothers, but they were so much older than me. I spent a lot of time by myself. So I learned how to really reverse engineer a lot of things. And I was very inquisitive and very curious about how to develop and create things. So that put me on that path to STEM. And of course, with being a woman of color and doing that, I didn't realize the barriers that I had to go through and how rare it was for a woman of color and just women in general to be in STEAM and STEM. So that's kind of where these last few years, I was like, you know, I really have this. And I didn't think about it till someone was saying, you know what, you have a really a great background and some unique, you know, skills. Why don't you try focusing on that? And I was like, oh, really? Because I never thought of it, just like many of us don't. When you're going through something and that's your life, you don't really look at it as anything extraordinary. You just think, okay, that's my life. That's what I do. But yeah, so I have always been a analytical creative mind, if you want to call it that.
Well, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you talk about that part of your journey about reverse engineering and just figuring things out. And that is a lot of how I incorporate my creativity. I have an idea. Okay, here's the end in mind. How do I get there? So I think that creativity, like that definitely shows up. And I think sometimes we don't always think of artsy creativity, like creativity in that way, as in the same realm as that analytical, you know, more technology focused math science realm. So I think that's really cool that you were, the way you were speaking of that, I heard myself in speaking of my own art. So that's really beautiful. So these days you work and you do a podcast, you speak, and you are an advocate for advancing women in the STEM fields. What is that like for you? And what is something you really just love about that?
You know, it's my purpose. And it's funny because it took me a while to get to this point to know that, this is my purpose. Because like I said, I got into my career started in like the 90s. And I didn't realize how, I knew there were, you know, a few women in that field, but I didn't realize how, you know, 30 years later, it's still just a few number of women and women of color. And I was thinking, wow, I didn't realize that at the time I was doing something groundbreaking. I mean, I knew it was women of color and women were a small percentage. And I was like, yeah, I want to do that because I want to be part of that, you know, elite few. But I didn't realize that, yeah, here we are in 2021 and we're still talking about the, you know, inequalities of women going to STEM. So that's where it really hit me. And that's my passion. So that's what I speak on, just speaking on letting people really understand and know the biases that women of color in tech face, and then helping corporate and companies that want to become, because everything now is diversity and inclusion, right? So it's more to it than just saying, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I want to do that. You actually have to have some action and do some things. And I know some of the big companies out there, there's still a few of them that are having issues with really walking the walk. You know, they talk the talk, but they are not really walking the walk. So that's my thing. I want to help these companies really show up and walk what they're talking and help them do what they're supposed to do as far as hiring and retaining and promoting these women in the tech field. Because, you know, just as well as I do, if you don't see someone who looks like you, you're not likely to gravitate towards something. You're going to feel like, okay, that's not for me, or I'm not good enough because I don't see any other people who look like me that's a representation. So that's really what I do and where my heart is. And it really struck me that this was my purpose. This is, you know, what I was meant to do.
That's beautiful. I love that. Can you give me like an example of something that you went through that has now changed for the better in the field? Is there anything that strikes you, a moment that you, or a particular aspect of being in the tech field as a woman of color when you started versus what you're helping to do with companies now? I'm not sure I'm phrasing that exactly.
I think I know what you mean. you know, honestly, looking back, and I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, looking back over my career is like, wow, I've really gone through some things, like, let's just say being underpaid.
Yeah.
You know, even though I made good salaries, I was underpaid. And it's amazing how you talk to women nowadays and they're still underpaid. So it's not, yeah. I don't really see any, you know, I guess there's a smaller, maybe the gap is closing a little bit, but there's still that inequality. Mm-hmm. So that's really why I'm so passionate about this, because until it's equal across the board, you know, it's not. And I was reading something saying that for every man in tech, every white male in tech in 2020 who was paid a dollar, a Black or a Latina woman was paid 90 cents for the same role. So you think about that and you're like, that's a big difference, you know? So I really can't say there's an improvement where I can say, oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's kind of what I heard you say earlier is that there are things you went through that are still issues today. And I was just sort of wondering if they're, you know, the evolution that you've seen, if any. I know there's obviously a long way we still have to go, because otherwise you wouldn't be doing the work that you're doing. You touched on already that the fact that there are companies who are talking the talk, mm-hmm. that's probably, you know, a step in the right direction, at least, even if they don't know how to walk it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and now, you know, thinking about it, I mean, and it's not so much particularly to tech, but we're now seeing some of the bigger corporations that are actually putting women and women of color in executive roles. And that's not so much the tech industry, but just kind of in general, we're seeing that some of those companies, some of these big companies, like I think Starbucks was the latest that put someone, a woman of color, in their executive lineup. But in tech, there's still a long ways to go. And it's funny because I'll speak at companies and the first thing I do is I go look at their executive lineup on their website. And I'm going, wow, it still looks this way. You know, you see a lot of men. You may see one or two women, if that, but they're usually not women of color. So there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. Was there like a defining moment when you really woke up to the challenges that you were facing back when you started? Like you went in, you say, well, this is my story. It's my story. Like you're living it and you're not really aware. Can you describe a little bit more like what really woke you up to the fact that you were a pioneer?
I remember working in corporate, having this tech job, and I was living in Arizona at the time, and it was monsoon season, so it was pouring down rainy. And I remember, oh man, I left my windows to my car cracked. I need to run out and let them up. And the female manager that I had at the time, supervisor, which was a white lady, but she was like, oh, here's my keys, let mine up too. And I was like, no, I will not let your windows up, you know? And it's just things like that. Cause I'm now that I think about it, I was like, why did she think that was okay? You know, so you have these little, you know, implicit and explicit bias, little microaggressions, things like that. And then you have to think about, would she have done that to anyone else? Why did she think that was okay to just say, oh, here's my keys, roll up my window too? You know, I'm like, well, I'm going outside to get wet to roll up my car windows. You know, what am I? And so it's things like that. So I just always wondered why certain things happen, you know, like the pay thing, the biases, just things like that along the way. And I really didn't know that it was an issue. You know, I was just thinking, oh, well, I'm ending up with some bad supervisors or not good environments. So I really didn't know until I got out and started looking back and started hearing other people's story that I realized, oh, this was not unique to me. This is something that is common and not in a good way.
Yeah. Now, did you start to see that it was amplified in any way in the tech industry or a different kind of struggle?
It was amplified in some ways because, I mean, we all know tech is male heavy, right? And, you know, I would go to meetings and be the only woman in the room. And then, you know, you're ignored or you made to feel like, okay, I shouldn't belong here, shouldn't be here. So I think because tech is such a male dominated industry, you get that more than, let's say, if I were in accounting, if I were in a financial industry, which we know it has a lot of females in that industry, but tech is like really male heavy because, you know, women grew up thinking, oh, well, if you're not smart in math or if you, you know, you're not this, you're not that, you can't go into that profession because men are engineers or men are really good at the math and men are really good at the science, which we know, you know, that's not true. Women can do those things too. But when you have an industry like that, that's predominantly male, that's what you get. I mean, I had men that were supposed to train me and didn't refuse to train me because they were like, I'm not training you. So I ended up going through that industry and teaching myself basically everything that I needed to know to keep my skills updated.
Wow. Now, would you say that that empowered you to step into it and really the way you had to work, did that give you that sense of pride and presence where you're then really owning and taking that responsibility and how do I say, like, you know, getting just really, really powerful from it?
Oh, absolutely. See, I'm a type A person. So when I encounter situations like that, that just makes me even more resilient. So being in those type of environments, my thing was, I'm not going to fail. So I would go to the bookstores and buy the coding books that I needed to learn things or take that extra class on my dime to say, okay, well, I'm going to learn this because I know they're going to come to me and say, hey, we want you to do this, expecting me to fail. And, you know, there were several occasions where I surprised them and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, know how to do this, or here's my idea for this. And it was like, oh, wow, really? So that kind of fueled me because I kept them on their toes, whereas they were trying to break me, for lack of a better term. So it really fueled me.
Yeah, that I can see how that would. I feel like that gave you a lot of discipline and especially self-discipline and internal drive that you have that really came out. Now, the tech industry and the military, similarities, differences.
You know, I think there are some similarities because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you were in the military. There's no bias there. There's no reason. There is. There is bias there. There's racism there. Of course, once that's reported or that's found out, there's zero tolerance for it. But you still have people who think you shouldn't belong. I mean, there's professions in the military that don't want to see women there. I've come across men who didn't want to, you know, award me for my work because they just didn't, you know. So there are similarities there.
Yeah, when you were talking about the guys at work trying to, you know, break you by asking you to do different things, I know that's, you know, you hear about the hazing and the things that might take place in a boot camp or military situation.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're always being tested and tried, right? They want to see what you're made of. And you just have to have that mindset to know that, okay, I belong here. whatever the criteria was, I met that or I exceeded that and I belong here. So I'm not going to let anybody force me out. And that kind of was my mentality that, you know what, I belong here and I'm going to work and I'm going to show you that I do, whether it's me working harder than everyone else or whatever. And, you know, and I'm a small person in stature. So I always had people that basically tested me, you know, especially at physical things. So yeah. I was actually always making sure that physically I could do that. So I always surprised people on that end too, because they were like, oh, you're the smallest thing here and you could do that. Yep, I can.
So what would you say to somebody who maybe isn't feeling so confident that they can step into that and belong and do those things that are surprising or exceed expectations?
You know, I would say that you can, you know, have faith in yourself, because just like I said previously, if you're there, if you're in the room, if you're at the table, you belong there. So don't give up. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hardest. You're going to have your challenges, but do whatever you need to do to make sure you stay in that room, to stay sitting at that table, because who's to say that you don't belong there? You belong there just as much as anyone else. So go in there and hold your head up high and do whatever you have to do to make sure that they don't dismiss you.
Fantastic. I think that's great advice. So were there any mentors or individuals that you encountered along the way that really helped support what you were doing and, you know, the work, your presence, that grit that you've developed? Like, we're none of us are an island. So I'm wondering if you had some people along the way that really inspired you.
You know, honestly, because of just the day and age that I came along, I really didn't know about mentors or sponsors. It was late in my Navy career. I remember actually meeting a gentleman who was a retired, I think, Air Force officer. But anyway, he ended up becoming like my mentor for me. So I know nowadays allyship is a big thing. And he really taught me a lot. And he actually helped open some doors for me to help pave the way for me in certain aspects of things. So that was something that until then, I really hadn't experienced a mentor. I was pretty much self-driven, being that type A person. So I really didn't have anyone that I considered a mentor that I could go to and say, hey, give me advice on this. But when I met this gentleman, he turned out to be that person where he really helped me. I could go to him and get advice. And just sitting back, watching him on how he handled things and how he handled himself and how he networked. And he had this great, he had all these connections, just really powerful people that I was like, wow. And just by knowing him, I got to know some of those people. So he was really, he was like my first mentor.
Yeah. And like when you were younger, you know, you paved the way, you know, woman of color in tech, like you didn't really have somebody who looked like you to really look up to and go, yeah, I'm going to do that and be that. Was there somebody maybe who didn't look like you or maybe who you just really admired coming up through that, that inspired you, even if they didn't directly mentor you, but somebody who really inspired that grit and discipline in you?
You know, honestly, not really. And this is kind of, well, yes, in a way, but not the way that you're probably thinking. I had an abusive mother. So growing up in that house and going through the traumas that I went through actually fueled my determination and my will to succeed, because all my life, only thing I knew is, okay, I need to get away from here. And I knew success was going to be my ticket. So unlike a lot of people that may have turned to the negative to get away from that, I always had in my mind, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to do all these things, because my thing was, I'm never coming back here and I'm going to show her that I can succeed. So that kind of was my fuel, not in a positive way, you know, from the things that were happening, but that fueled me.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I feel like we all have those, the things, the stories. Sometimes it is a positive role model. Sometimes it is, unfortunately, the trauma. And I appreciate that there are people like you who can take that and turn it into something really positive and go out and meet your goals. How do you overcome challenges now with all the experience you've had? Are there any specific challenges you have now, and how do you handle them the same way or differently?
You know, how I usually handle my challenges now is I do a lot of prayer. I pray a lot. I actually spend time alone just thinking, really kind of tapping into myself and trying to think of my strategy and get that strength, because a lot of times it is, it's challenging and it's draining. But I try to keep myself going, you know, the affirmation saying, okay, I can do this. How do I need to rearrange things and get things going? So, yeah, that's usually how I do, just a prayer and really some self inward thought and reflection.
Do you feel like you're more inwardly reflective now than maybe you used to be?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. And it took me a long time to get to this point because, you know, it's just growing up and being, you know, going through life. I was just, you know, we all can say we were so naive and so dumb. But now I actually see how important it is to look within yourself, and having done a lot of self work on myself to get past like my childhood trauma and some of the other things, I'm really in tune to actually doing that, you know, inward reflecting and really taking that time to be alone and do those things.
And how do you balance that with all the other things that you're doing in your life? I'm big on balance. So I'm just curious as to how your balance looks.
I live by my calendar. If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't happen. It's just, you know, I have no magical tips or tricks. Basically, I write everything down. I write everything down. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. And then sometimes I just need to take time and not do anything. And sometimes I do that and I say, that's okay. There used to be a time where it was like, okay, I got to have something to do every minute of the day, every day, you know, and if I'm not doing something, something's wrong. Well, now I'm like, you know what? I may not feel like working on, you know, my CRM today, so I'm not going to do that. So, you know, it's okay. It's okay to take those days.
Do you schedule your me time, your internal introspective time, and your calendar as well?
You know, I do. I've started doing that. And, you know, I started that probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago because I didn't do it. I was just like, oh, I'll do it. You know, and it's willy-nilly. You're like, oh, here, there, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start putting this in there. And I had to put in, okay, I'm going to stop working at this time. This is my time. Okay, on this day, there's a couple of shows I like to watch, and I'm going to take 2 hours to watch these shows. And that's what I do. And you know what? And it works. It works for me.
Nice. Yeah. I've been thinking a lot about how much freedom there actually is in structure. Now you have been in tech and you have been in the military. You can't get much more structured than that. How do you experience that freedom in with the structure, like with your calendar or in your military career?
Oh, you know, actually I lack structure. My children probably not so much because I'm pretty rigid. Well, I wouldn't say rigid, but I do like structure because even though I'm pretty driven and I pretty much take care of things, if it's not there and I don't have that structure, I kind of get ADD, right? You know, I'm like, oh, I'll do this here. And then it's like, oh, I thought of this. Let me go do this. So I kind of have a lot going because my mind never stops. It's always going. So if I don't have that structure, I end up doing a lot of things. And then at the end of the day, I feel like I haven't completed anything. So that structure really helps me stay on task and stay focused.
Yeah, that's been my experience to structure as well. I don't like structure. I resist structure. So I'm actually the opposite. I resist it. But my experience has been, you know, coming from the martial arts aspect of it, where we're given this structure, point A to point B, you get the next belt, you get the next rank, you get the next thing. And there's just something freeing in knowing where the next milestone is, and breaking that down into your daily structure or your work structure, your calendar. I feel like that does open up your mind to rest instead of trying to keep your mind to thinking of the next thing that needs to be done, needs to happen.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. So what are you reading or listening to right now? What are you learning?
Oh my goodness. So I vacillate between several books. So right now I have three, because I like the Audible. So I'll do the Audible like when I'm away, and then at home, I'll have the Audible, but I'll actually have the book where I'm like reading, taking notes out, you know, highlighting. So the first book I'm reading is called Don't Drop the Mic by T.D. Jakes. He's a big mega pastor, so Bishop T.D. Jakes, but that's kind of about how he speaks and going on. And because he does so many things. He's not only a pastor, he produces movies, he writes books, things like that. So Don't Drop the Mic, that's one. The next one I'm reading is Tiffany Alice, who's known as the Budgetista, her book, Get Good with Money. I'm reading that. And then the third book I'm reading is Grant Cardone's 10X.
What is that one?
It's I would say it's a business book, but he's a big billionaire now, but basically self-made. He, you know, came from nothing. And he's basically telling you that nothing is going to happen in your life, your success, unless you 10X whatever you do. So whatever you have your mind on and focusing on, basically 10X it so that you can get to where you want to be in all that you do. So those are the three books that I'm kind of rotating around in right now.
Yep. I'm no stranger to having a few books going at once. So I love it. So what is your next level? Where's Trina going?
Ooh, my next level is just really working, making my business really successful. I want it to be international, and I want to have a staff of all women from all different walks of life. And my vision is to make it not only international, but I want to do retreats and masterminds for all women in tech, so that we can come together, we can share our experiences, we can help mentor and help other women get promoted and go into leadership. So that's really my vision.
I love that. I think it's only lonely at the top if you're doing it wrong, right?
Right.
You gotta help lift other people up, and then everybody wins. I love that. So the last thing, I love to give my audience, a little challenge, some simple challenge and action step they can take that they can either take themselves, personal growth to the next level, or just getting them thinking outside their comfort zone, something like that. What would you say would be a simple challenge that you could give to anyone listening to maybe improve their life somehow or inspire someone else?
My challenge would be for the listeners, for you out there, to think differently about yourself. We all have that negative self-talk that we have in our head. And a lot of times we talk to ourselves and say things that we would never say to someone else. So I want to challenge people listening to really start to reframe how they see themselves and the things that they say to themselves. Because if you don't believe it, no one else will. So it starts with you and it starts within.
Wonderful. I think that's super important. That's a lot of what I talk about on my episodes, is just how we talk to ourselves and what that looks like. Is there anything else that you would like to share about your journey, what you are doing now, or anything else that you would like to share today in this interview?
Just that, like I said, my passion is helping women of color in tech. So if you're a company out there and you really are trying to make your tech department or company diverse and inclusive, please reach out to me. I would love to work with you on training and steps on how to actually do that. But other than that, you can go to my website at trinalmartin.com, and I'll be glad to speak with anyone who wants to reach out to me.
Fantastic. And I will put all of your contact information in the show notes. Trina, thank you so much for coming on and making this work and sharing your story and sharing some insight today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Sarah, for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation.